as I wait.
Heart Hello, of God. New Life, and welcome to the Growth Group Podcast, where we believe that spiritual growth happens better in circles than it does in rows. My name is David Haken, and I am recording this podcast solo this week as Jonathan and Maggie are in England having a great time and vacation. We're continuing our series on emotionally healthy spirituality following the book by Peter Scazzaro this week, but instead of continuing another chapter from the book, we're taking a pause and examining a topic which is related to this series, a topic which Peter in his book brings up pretty frequently, the idea of solitude and silence. And I'm going to take a look on Sunday. I'll be preaching on what to do with that solitude and silence, specifically looking at the biblical concept of meditation. Well, with that, let's jump into our questions. First question, it's entitled, What? I've got three questions this week instead of four, and they follow this pattern, what, why, and how, asking what is meditation, why should we meditate, and how should we go about meditating. So the first question, what? How does Eastern meditation differ from the biblical concept of meditation? What does an understanding of the Hebrew word haggah add to our understanding of this practice? Is it possible you've been meditating for years without calling it meditation? How would you like to grow in this area? All right, so meditation. What is meditation all about? That's what we're dealing with in this first question. And I feel like in our cultural moment right now, at least in our Christian evangelical culture, meditation doesn't really have a place. We don't really understand it. We don't do it very often. Or perhaps if we do, we don't realize it. We associate meditation with Eastern religions, Buddhism and Hinduism. But their concept of meditation is vastly different than our own. In Eastern meditation, they seek to empty the mind completely. But the biblical concept of meditation rather calls us to fill our minds with scripture and things of that nature. Biblical meditation is really, it's a mentally active process instead of the passive one of Eastern meditation. Instead of espousing detachment from the world, it rather encourages us to attach ourselves to God. We don't disengage, we rather engage. So it's really quite the opposite of Eastern meditation. It's just too bad that we have all these connotations attached to that word, which is a very biblical word. Meditation shows up something like 58 times, I thought I saw in the Bible. So it's a biblical idea. And then another thing to consider as well is that idea of a mantra, where you're just repeating the same thing over and over and over again. You find those kind of practices in Eastern religions, but that's not biblical either. As a matter of fact, Jesus preached against this practice explicitly in the Sermon on the Mount, where he said in Matthew 6:7, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words." Don't be like them, Jesus says. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So that's Eastern, but we're doing it the biblical way. So the second aspect of this question asks about the Hebrew word haggah. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it, but it's something close to that, haggah. And this word is used of a couple of actually animals in the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah 31, it talks about a lion and a young lion growling over its prey. That word growl is a reference, or it's a Hebrew word haggah, which is the same word for meditation. And in Isaiah 38, it talks about a dove which moans, the kind of the coo-coo sound that it makes. And meditation is somewhat like that. It's this low, almost inaudible murmur or mutter where Hebrew men and women would recite memorized texts, memorized Bible verses to themselves, kind of very quietly, just thinking about them, pondering them. And this connection between verbal out loud recitation of scripture and meditation is pretty well substantiated. So our first reference to, the most significant initial reference to meditation is in the book of Joshua, where it says in the first chapter, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." Now, see that parallelism? It shouldn't depart from your mouth, and you should meditate on it day and night. So meditation is something that's done with the mouth. And the same thing we get in Psalm 19, verse 14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight." So at least the biblical concept of meditation seems to relate to something that's done audibly. But I think that that's not necessary that we mimic that practice of speaking and reciting the biblical words out loud. I think maybe part of the change as well is in our culture, or it has been this way for centuries. When we're reading by ourselves to ourselves, we read the words unaudibly, simply in our heads. But that wasn't normal for a lot of human history. Reading was done completely out loud. That's why the Ethiopian eunuch, when he was reading the book of Isaiah, Philip, who was alongside the chariot, knew exactly what he was reading and where, because he was reading it out loud. We don't have to do that. I think our idea is just this rumination, this reflection, marinating, chewing, pondering the words slowly to ourselves, considering what their implications are for ourselves. But we should move on to our second question. We spent plenty of time there. Second question, why should we meditate? So the question reads, "We learned this week that meditation can, 1, strengthen our faith, 2, give us rest for our souls, and 3, create a space where we can commune with God. How does meditation accomplish these things, and which do you feel most drawn to?" Okay, so numero uno here. How does meditation strengthen our faith? Well, I mean, one of the interesting things about being a Christian is that, and this is something that's different than all other just normal people, we get together and we all sing in a room out loud. That's not normal. I mean, what other experience in life outside of a church service would everyone get together and sing besides around a campfire or at a concert or something like that? It's a unique thing that we do when we gather to praise our Lord and also to hear His word taught. But the thing is, each of those things and many other sources of knowledge and experience that we have as Christians, whether we're reading the Bible or reading Christian books, listening to sermons, it's a lot of information. And we want this information to become active. We want it to accomplish something in our lives. And Spurgeon has this wonderful metaphor, which I'm pretty sure I'll share on Sunday, where he talks about meditation like a wine press. He says, "Again, meditation is the machine in which the raw material of knowledge is converted to the best uses. Let me compare it to a wine press. By reading and research and study, we gather the grapes, but it is by meditation that we press out the juice of those grapes and obtain the wine." So we can be blessed listening to sermons every week on Sunday, but if that's our only interaction with that information, that word from the Lord, it's just hearing it just once on a Sunday morning without pondering and reflecting and taking to heart some of the exhortations given to us on that day, it's not going to have the same influence. We're going to be we'll pop a couple grapes in our mouth, but we won't taste the wine. All right. Let's see. What's another good thing to share in the second one? Talking about how meditation can give us rest for our soul. So, in the same way that our body can get tired after a hard day's work, our soul and our spirit can become weary as well. But instead of having to wait for our vacation time to accumulate so that we can spend it and go to Hawaii with the family or something like that, we have an opportunity to enjoy rest and refreshment and rejuvenation every time that we sit down and pray and enter into the Lord's presence and remind ourselves what is true and reset the compass of our lives. Biblical meditation, offers us that great service. All right, so last question. How of meditation? On Sunday, we discussed forms of medication, no, meditation, forms of meditation which both move from our lives to God, that's one form, and also from God to our lives. I'll explain what all that means. So, how are each of these forms practiced? Experiment with some of them. Are there any you might consider incorporating into your regular quiet times? So I'm gonna conclude the sermon on Sunday by giving examples of different ways, different methods, different things to try, which some people have called meditation. And I've just broken them down into a couple of different categories. Either you start with what I've called starting with God, where you're reading His Word or examining some kind of theological truth, and then from there seek to find personal applications. So that's one direction, God to self. And then the other form of meditation is from self to God, where you start with your own life and you ponder and reflect and you see areas of struggle and victory and you thank the Lord for that. And but I need to go through each of these so you can be able to share them with your growth group. So I'm going to try to do this quickly. So starting with what I've called the Benedictine method of meditation. In this method, you read through the words of Scripture, just wherever your Bible reading happens to be for that day, and you're just reading, reading, reading until you alight on something that strikes your attention, where you feel like the Lord might be asking you to reflect on that particular verse, and then you take that verse and you just read it again and again and again, and you dig into it and you look at all the different component parts and you basically pray your way through that verse. I think it's the simplest form. You just read until you hit on that one thing and then you dig deep there. So next one, visualization. This works especially well with narrative where you're reading a narrative passage, Jesus feeding the 5,000, or calming the seas, or walking on water, and your goal is to put yourself into that story, where you imagine being a guy listening to Jesus speak for 3.5 hours, and now you're getting really, really hungry, and Jesus, or one of Jesus' disciples, hands you magic bread out of this basket or something. You use your sanctified imagination to put yourself into that story. I've called the next form of meditation Google It, in which I just encourage you to consider different aspects of theology, justification, sanctification, our reconciliation to God, our eternal state in heaven. Pick some topic. Maybe the law. Pick some topic and do a Google search on it. Look up some of the key verses which speak about our imputed righteousness or something like that, and make a short list and then print it out, write it out, and just read through those and seek to learn and pray your way through a specific topic of Scripture. All right, next category. Prayer that goes from self to God. The prayer of examine was developed by Ignatius of Loyola, and this is basically a prayer where you just review your day. So I think it works best to do this at the end of the day as opposed to the beginning, where after you've just walked through the experiences of your day, you enter into this quiet space before the Lord, calm your spirit, remain still in His presence for a couple minutes, and then just play and fast forward through your experiences of that day, stopping at every spiritually significant moment, whether it was something you, a victory in that day, or something that you struggled with that you don't feel peace about. And when you get to those moments, just imagine Jesus pulling up a chair alongside you and just share with Him your frustrations, your sense of disappointment about this or that experience, or your joys as well. Thank Him for those things, and ask Him to be with you the next time you run into a similar situation. So it's this kind of process in which we encourage an awareness of God's presence in our lives and the way that He's working and shaping us through our experiences. Next form I've called target. And this is where we apply God's word to a specific struggle in our lives, whether that be anxiety, fear, maybe financial provision concerns in our life or something like that. And we just look up all of the verses we can on that subject. And likewise, I don't know, print them out. I find it's helpful to have things physically in front of me. And work through, ponder, haggah, those verses which relate to this topic, and just try to work through this layer of the onion of your life, trying to peel it off with the Lord's help through the power of the Spirit. Last one, palms up, palms down. I actually should call it palms down, palms up, but you always do up, down instead of down, up when you put those two words next to each other. So, with this practice, it's kind of a symbolic thing where you the first process is you release and you surrender your doubts and fears and difficulties to the Lord. I'm just going to read an example because it's easier than trying to come up with one off the top of my head. So here's an example. With your palms down, you say, Lord, I give to you my anger toward John or whoever. I give to you, I give over my anger towards this person, and I release my fear of the meeting at work tomorrow. I'm freaked out about the meeting, and I'm super angry at this guy named John. But I release those things to you, palms down. You imagine yourself pushing these things away from yourself, and then boom, flip them, palms up. You say, Lord, I receive from you love for John, and and a sense of peace about this meeting tomorrow. And you just try to, you simply pray for the Lord to give you that peace and to give you that love where you have anger and anxiety instead. So that's a pretty practical, easy one as well. And with that, I'm going to wrap it up. I hope this monologue has been helpful to you and your small group. And next week, Jonathan will return us to the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality series, where we'll look at chapter 4 of Peter Scazzaro's book. We hope to see you then. God bless.
As I wait, heart of God.